Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. Tonight's focus is on cocaine addiction, and we have our friends here from Cocaine Anonymous to share with us their experience, their strength, and their hope. And up first is our guest, Giovanni. Hello, Giovanni. How are you, sir?
Hello. How are you?
Good.
My name is Giovanni and I am an addict.
Hi, Giovanni.
Hi, Giovanni.
My story really started with alcohol, and that I graduated to drugs eventually. But I remember the first feeling that I have. I wanted to feel good, and that I went out drinking. I went to a bar, and that I didn't have anything to drink before that night. And the day that I took that drink, I knew that was going to stay with me. And for a while, I felt that everything that was stopping me from becoming a person suddenly just disappeared.
So the booze was magic for you.
Yeah, because I needed a drink to get rid of a feeling or to get a feeling.
Okay.
And then I felt, you know, like right in, so I was able to make people laugh and actually socialize. But somehow just that wasn't enough for me. I needed something else. And I think now I understand what's being an addict. It's not just a substance. You know, cocaine is my drug of choice, and I loved it. I did it for about 15 years.
Where did it start?
Start when I was 16.
16.
Yeah. My sister-in-law was a drug dealer. That was very convenient.
Oh, that is convenient.
Yeah. And we were in the projects in Manhattan, and that she was dealing drugs. So one night we were drinking, and she said, "You want some coke?" And I said, "Oh, what's that?" And she said, "Oh, you'll love it." And surely, I mean, I fell in love with that drug.
And you did.
Amazing. Yeah. It really, really was amazing. I stayed up all night. I talked. And it was great.
What was the magic?
It made me feel something. You know, there was something missing inside of me. There was something broken.
Okay.
And cocaine fixed that. Cocaine changed all that, you know. Suddenly, I wasn't afraid anymore. Suddenly, I was the cool guy, you know, and I wanted to be the cool guy. So cocaine gave me that. And actually, cocaine carried me for many, many years until it turned on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the fun stopped. And looking back, really, I would never think that the day will come that I would, you know, come to a radio show and say, "My name is Giovanni and I'm an addict."
Mm-hmm.
All I wanted was to have a good time, you know. It was all in the name of a good time.
Right.
I never meant for this to get out of control. I didn't think it was going to take everything away, and it did, you know. And that's what happens. You just don't see it while you're doing it. I kept on doing it because it was fun, and I had many reasons, you know. And I was a successful drug addict for many, many years.
Well, define a successful drug addict.
A successful drug addict.
I don't know too many, so.
Okay, so let me give you an example of a successful drug addict was someone like me. In my head, I was still able to go to work. I had expensive shoes. I have friends. I went out on the weekends and I got my drugs and it was great. Stay out for a couple of hours, come home 6 o'clock in the morning.
So you were functional, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was career.
Okay. So
for 10 years as a drug addict.
I gotcha.
And then that ended, you know.
Okay.
And one day I wasn't so successful, and I needed more. I needed more, and then life gets serious, you know. Life happens, and I was unable to handle life, you know. I partied for so long from such an early age that when I became an adult, I just didn't know how to handle situations.
Well, let's talk about those situations. What happened?
For instance, for some reason, I think from the age of 5 till probably 17, something happened there. You know, something inside of me just broke, because when I became, you know, a young man, I just didn't know how to go and get a job. I mean, I was intimidated by people. I felt that I would never fit in. I felt stupid for no reason. I mean, it was just how I felt. I was unable to have relationships. I always felt like I needed to walk the extra mile, you know, people pleasing. in order for me to get anything.
Okay.
I just didn't know how. I just didn't know how to be sad. I didn't know how to be angry. I fixed everything with a substance.
Okay, so you didn't have any coping skills, basically, when you were a younger guy.
No, I don't think I had that many now. I'm better, but it was pretty rough out there.
Okay.
Pretty rough. And cocaine really became my friend. You know, like I said earlier, it really helped me to get over that. You know what I mean? It was like what I needed to take care of those feelings. But you can only run away for so long, you know, until you can run away anymore. The end came, you know, that what happens to every drug addict, you cross that line that it isn't fun anymore. You see, the day came that I didn't have a choice.
How old were you when you lost that choice?
I think probably by the age of 25, I didn't have a choice anymore. I had to use. And I remember that I was so proud to say that, you know, that I wasn't a drug addict because I used on the weekends, right? But then I started using on Wednesday, and then it became a couple of times a week until I had to use every day. Mm. And once I got there, what happened is that I just, then, you know, in my head, I would go home 5 o'clock, 5:30 after work and start using and drinking. But the day came that I just couldn't wait till 5 o'clock.
Well, tell me exactly how you enjoyed your drugs. Were you smoking it? Were you snorting it? Were you shooting it? What's your story?
Well, I prefer to snore. That's okay. Sort of, you know, if I, you know, in the days that I felt, you know, that I had enough on my own, that I could do whatever I want. But I'm a drug addict, you know, and I'll do anything, you know, to get that hit. And that if you were smoking and you invited me to smoke, I was going to smoke because I needed to get high before, you know, anything else. But I'm the old-fashioned, you know, I come from the 80s. I started early. So in the 80s, we snore a lot of cocaine.
Right.
Like I said, you know, when the day came that I didn't have a choice and I started using in the office. Because I just couldn't wait till 5 o'clock to go home to call the dealer. So I would call my dealer at lunchtime and he would come to the office and he would come. I would close the door. And then we start my, you know, the rest of my day. And I would drink, you know, like when you do cocaine, you need to drink to sort of balance things out. And
did you find the cocaine helped you drink more? Would it keep you awake? I mean,
Drinking for me later on, when drugs were so important, towards the middle of my career as a drug addict, the drinking became sort of like what I used as a mechanism to get me down from the cocaine, or sort of to balance me.
Oh, so it was like
so
the
I
breaks?
Could function. It was like a break. And
okay.
When there was no cocaine, what did? I drank.
Right. Okay.
Because it wasn't, again, I thought it was the substance, but it wasn't that. It was about not to feel. You know, I didn't want to feel myself. I just couldn't. I just couldn't face myself. I didn't know how. I probably wanted to do it, but I just didn't have the tools to do it. I mean, how do you, you know, someone who's been using for so long, you tell them that suddenly you're just going to clean up your act and just face life, you know, just like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So it took a while. It really took a while because, like I said, cocaine became my friend, and my relationships disappeared. People disappeared. The job disappeared. So in the end, it was me and my drugs. You know, in the end, you go out, you go and get your drugs, right? And you think that they're going to, you know, still give you what you're looking for. But the day comes when you cannot get high anymore. You know, I was doing an A-ball, which is 3.5 grams of cocaine every day. And I was still getting what I needed. But my life got smaller and smaller and smaller. And my friends disappeared. Everything disappeared. And by then I had 2 overdoses, and I was...
What happened in the overdose?
I had 3 overdoses in total, and that...
Are these trips to the emergency room kind of overdoses, or...?
Yeah, well, the overdose that they take you to the hospital and pump your stomach.
Really? Okay.
And they got worse. You know, the first time that I went, it was like, oh, my God, you know. And then, like a good drug addict, I got up the next day and I just called the dealer again.
Did it? I mean, that, after that first episode, did it occur to you that maybe you didn't have a normal relationship with cocaine?
No.
Okay.
Everything else outside myself. I would never, ever say that it was cocaine, because cocaine was my friend. You know, cocaine was keeping me there. I would do anything to protect my addiction. So
sure,
I would lie and I would just make all kind of excuses. But
so three trips to the hospital?
Three trips. And the last one was when I think that's we all have our end, you know, and I knew that I was finished. And I went to the hospital. I was taken there for, you know, by some people that I really care about. And they left me there and they said, well, you're here now. This is what you want. And I was laying in the hospital bed after they, you know, pump your stomach. They stick fingers all over, you know, and quite embarrassing. You're half naked there.
Sure.
And I just look up and I something in my brain said, there has to be a better way than this. I didn't meant for this to happen. And the light went off and I said, I got to stop. I mean, at that point, I couldn't deny it anymore, because, I mean, the evidence, they were so obvious that normal people don't go to the hospital 3 o'clock in the morning from 3 days of using cocaine nonstop.
Right.
You see, that just isn't cool.
Well,
by
society standards, also normal people don't do cocaine. So how?
Well, but for a drug addict like me, you have to understand that everybody who wasn't doing drugs were not cool enough for me. So I would dissociate from those people.
So your whole environment,
you know,
everyone around you,
my whole thing was in my head. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you: was cocaine as social as beer? I mean, was it that everybody around you did it?
Well, that was. I have to go back 15 years when it was social. I think the last 5 years were me locked up in a room or in a hotel room, just doing cocaine by myself.
Right.
You know, for days and days and days with not one single person there.
Right. Right.
So you lose contact with the outside world. It's not about partying anymore, but just escaping from your reality. But like I said, at the end of my run, after my last relapse, I knew that I got to do something about it or I was going to die. So I started going to meetings. People suggested, people that were around me, the people that they used to employ me suggested that I might have a problem with substance. So I started going to meetings.
What type of meetings?
First I went to AA meetings. I said, this isn't for me. I could drink all I want.
Mm.
Then I went to an NA meeting. And it was okay. Scary, though. But I went again and again. And it took me a while. It took me a while to sort of understand, because my idea was that I was going to be a recovering addict and a practicing alcoholic.
Mm.
And, you know, you have to abstain from all mind-altering substance. You really have to be able to feel, how, you know, what you're supposed to feel without medicating your feelings. So you got to stop drinking. And that was a hard thing that I had to do, because I didn't want to stop drinking. My problem was cocaine. So why are you all telling me that I got to stop drinking?
Right, right.
But you got to, if you want to recover, if you want your life back. So eventually I did. Eventually I surrendered. It was painful, because for the first time I was there with my feelings, facing myself, and I just couldn't run anymore. You know, I was desperate.
Mm.
I was tired. I just didn't have any other place to go. The only people that wanted me around were the people in the meetings. Nobody wanted me around because I stole your money and I stole your drugs, you know. So that's the place where I found hope, you know. And then I went to Cocaine Anonymous.
How did you come to find Cocaine Anonymous?
I was going to NA meetings and it was great. I felt that I finally found what I needed to help me, you know, in my road to recovery. But somehow I needed a fellowship. And I found that in Cocaine Anonymous. I found other people that came from the same background that I did.
What were the differences between Narcotics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous? Or what was more appealing to you about Cocaine Anonymous?
Well, what was more appealing to me was that most of the people that I got high with I found in Cocaine Anonymous, and people that I knew from out there. In Narcotics Anonymous, I felt, and I'm in Spanish, man, but the meeting that I used to go to were mainly African-Americans, and I felt out of place. And I didn't feel like I belong. I didn't felt like I could connect, you know what I mean? Because
sure.
it's very important to identify. But in Cocaine Anonymous, somehow people welcomed me and they made me feel like I was part of it, something that I didn't get in the beginning in the other fellowship, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was just wasn't ready to receive it, and that's what prepared me. So by the time that I got to Cocaine Anonymous, I was ready to accept, you know, their love and their help. But I'm very grateful, you know, to all the fellowships that I've gone to. I mean, they helped me, and they got me here. I have almost 3.5 years, by the grace of God, clean and sober, and it has been the best thing that happened to me. I wouldn't be here. Now, I just don't say this just to say it, but I mean it. I would have been dead. I'm a serious cocaine addict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used every day and a lot when I used. And the only place for me was death. So, this, you know, this program gave me a life. It gave me everything that I was looking for when I was out there. Self-esteem. A place where I belong, a place where I will have a voice and people actually listen to me, because when we go to meetings and someone speaks, the rest of us just shut up.
Well, know, what's a meeting like? I mean, when you first walked in, were you scared? Did you feel at home?
Yes, of course, because I knew that that was the end. And
you knew that was
to
up,
imagine
yeah.
life without cocaine, it was just...
Terrifying.
Terrifying, and I just couldn't imagine. When I heard someone with 10 years, I was like, oh, my God. 10 years clean, and I'm like, wow, I couldn't put 10 days together. Not, I mean, 10 hours.
Sure.
So it was amazing. It really, really was. But the best thing that happened to me, I'm so grateful that I'm clean, I'm sober. I have everything, you know. And when I say that, it doesn't mean in terms of material things, but I've been able to actually face myself and all those feelings of inadequacy, all that terror that I grew up with. I've been able to deal with it throughout. You know, steps, we do more than just staying clean there.
What do you do? I mean,
well,
like, what's? I'm sure you didn't just show up, have a cup of coffee, and get sober. There must have been some work to do.
Well, you have to. Yes, there's a lot of work to do if you want to get clean, if you want to get better. Because you could stay sober, you could stay clean, but that doesn't mean you're getting better. And I wanted to get better. I didn't want to be hurting anymore. So I took the step. I took the suggestions. And to me, you know, 12-step meetings are the spiritual revolution of the 21st century. Where do you go where people will love you unconditionally? They want nothing from you but to help you. You know, you could talk about who you are without being judged by anybody. I don't know any other society where nobody rules. We don't have a boss. Everybody, you know, is equal.
Giovanni, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us tonight. This is America's 12-Step Radio Show. This is Steppin' Out.